Hey yo, what is up, everybody? Yes, it's been a while. What day is this? 21st? And then the last time I recorded was the 3rd. So it's been 18 days since I've been in front of the mic in my home. But I've been out in these streets, these comedy streets, slanging these jokes. I actually am going to be doing that later. So I'm recording the first part, and then the second part would be after the show. So, yeah, I would advertise where I'm going to be tonight, but by the time you actually hear this podcast, it'll be over. But so I was at Eventide. I keep forgetting how to pronounce that brewery. We have so many breweries in Atlanta, but Eventide, yes. Atlanta has some dope-ass breweries. I'm very proud to say that, and I've been to most of them because of these comedy shows. So shout out to all the bookers figuring it out. Shout out to Hip and Hops. They are a black-owned brewery that's right in the heart of East Atlanta Village. So, and I hear there's also a smoke shop across the street from there that's black-owned as well. So, yo, this is what Jay-Z was talking about, y'all. Regentrify. Take back what was y'all's. East Atlanta was ours. But anyways, oh, man, you can take the girl out the hood, but you can't take the, I don't know, man. So today, I'm, just sitting up in my room, Brandy, and I just hear these really, really loud gunshots right outside my window, like pop, 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 pop. And then I heard a car drive off. I live across the street from a school. I'm trying to figure out who bucking up at 10 o'clock in the morning. So during school, but, I mean, we have a camera, but we didn't really catch what happened. We saw the cops come up. They came over quick, too. So, hey, never mind. I'm not even going to say. You know what I'm about to say. So, anyways, yeah, the cops came, and it's like they roped off this part of the street for a hot second and had a K-9 unit sniffing up some evidence. And I don't think they found anything because they ended up leaving. But we saw 3 shell casings in the on the sidewalk, so maybe it was a home invasion going awry. I have no fucking clue, bro, but that shit was weird. Even weirder was like how I didn't even flinch. I wasn't like nervous or like my anxiety didn't flare up or anything, or whether it didn't trigger any anxiety. It was weird. It's like, how fucking normal is gunshots to me? But yeah, like I didn't duck under the bed or anything. I was just like, what the fuck is this? Interrupting my shit. Interrupting my thoughts. So, happy to be alive? Yeah. I need to fucking chill. I need to, I don't know, man. I don't think I need a gun. But yeah, that was just weird. I really want to know what the fuck happened. So, yeah. We got some angry Boondock Saints in the neighborhood. Never saw that movie, really. I mean, I knew hella dudes who love that movie, but I just never could understand why. And it's like a universal movie that it's like Naruto, like like anyone of any race that's a dude loves Boondock Saints. So, but anyway, yeah, that's what's been going on in my hood. Ooh, from my hood to yo hood, slang and banging. Shit. It was, yeah. I mean, I love where I live, though, aside from random shots, give it up to double Glocks. I just don't know who you could have been beefing with at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Friday in front of a school zone. But all right, playboy, you go ahead, fucking John Wayne head ass. Anyway, speaking of John Wayne, oh, this was perfect. What a segue. Call me the segue queen. So, the John Wayne of the NBA, the Gilbert Arenas, remember that shit with, Crittenden and them niggas, they playing, I guess it was a dice game going wrong? No. That time when Gilbert Arenas pulled them guns out, and I never forget the tweet he said. He said, man, they got me out here sounding like John Wayne. And I thought that shit was so funny. Like, I really loved Gilbert Arenas' game when, cause I was, back in the day, I was a big University of Arizona Wildcat basketball fan. And he was on one of my favorite teams ever. I mean, he was on there with, I mean, name was Lauren Woods, who got fucking suspended because his uncle gave him $40. Never forget that shit. This was that year, actually, when they went to the title and they fucking lost to Duke. Whatever, I'm over it, I promise. Anyway, so, fuck Michael Dunleavy Jr. Gilbert Arenas does talk about that on the podcast. Anyway, he was on All the Smoke. And, you know, he talks about some things. Gilbert Arenas, he's a big old fucking troll. I mean, he says some stupid shit like, you really think dark-skinned women is beautiful? Shit. And it's like, nigga, you dark-skinned, what are we doing? But anyway, he just always says some really dumb foul shit, especially after that whole gun shit. It wasn't the same with him, but he still makes valid points. I mean, when you actually sit down with him and he's talking about basketball with fellow athletes that he respect, I listen to what he says. I mean, he really was a great player. I mean, he's still to this day one of my all-time favorite college basketball players. And I followed him in the NBA too when he went to the Warriors and then of course the Wizards. But I mean, Arizona, man, he was it for me, man. It was like, you a point guard? You a shooting guy? You a small forward? Like, what are you, bro? You out there? You got them buckets. And I'm listening to it, and there was a moment where Steven Jackson's like, so have you ever airballed a free throw? And Gilbert Arenas like, no, I'm a guard, so of course not. And that was like already like one shot, because I was like, what is Steven Jackson trying to get at? And then I just peeled back to some memories, and then I was like, did Kwame Brown have airball free throws? And then yes, he did. He had at least two that I knew of. So that was the first jab, I think. But that was like a low, like, you know, I ain't really saying shit. But then it gets interesting when he does talk about the Wizards, when Gilbert Arenas starts talking about his Wizards run. And this episode is going to have a lot of clips. Like, this segment, like, this, before I even get to the timeout, is going to be all about this shit for the most part. Because I'm obsessed with this shit. I'm like, holy shit. Because I remember Kwame Brown. Like, I literally watched that McDonald's All-American game where he, you know, he had buckets. Like, I mean, he was shooting threes. I mean, he's just a big, tall, skinny nigga out here shooting threes. Like, he wasn't. I mean, Gilbert Arenas made a good point. Said that he was like an Anthony Davis, you know, before Anthony Davis. Like, he really could have been that type. And I agree wholeheartedly. So I am going to play a couple of the clips that is probably what sparked, and by probably, most definitely what sparked a response from Kwame Brown. So I'm going to play a couple of these back to back. Maybe not back to back, I'll probably say some in between. All right, first one.
It was one of those things where I'm coming into... You know, remember, Kwame Brown's there, so he's the franchise.
First pick.
Yeah, he's a franchise, you know.
Yeah, Matt was just talking the previous show we just had, how good Kwame was.
Y'all killed him, man.
No, didn't say nothing about it.
Matt was like, that was one of the, you know, top number one picks they could ever round, right?
I'm just saying what Matt said this shit. I had nothing to say.
Matt didn't say shit.
Matt said Kwame was one of the best number one picks ever of all time.
He could have been. He could have been, and this is why. Imagine being an 18-year-old kid getting drafted number one by you.
So, yeah, he talks about how this is a two-minute-long clip. I could play that one for 2 minutes, or I can just paraphrase. But that, like, that little jab right there, like, and then when he talks about how Michael Jordan played the shit out of him in front of his peers. Like, Michael Jordan really expected so much out of Kwame Brown. I mean, Jordan really should not have drafted him number one. I mean, and Kwame Brown had all this expectation because he's the first and only, pretty sure, the first and only high schooler to be drafted number one. So people were, I mean, there were just so many high expectations, and he's always considered one of the biggest busts of all time. I think not. I mean, people act like Michael Olowokandi didn't exist. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, of course, Sam Bowie. But like, tell me one Michael Olowokandi highlight you got. He was the first pick in the 98 draft. So, So he was talking about that, you know, and how there was all these expectations and how Michael Jordan really just didn't need to play him like he did. And then there's some more in this clip that I want you to hear.
Confidence. You know what I mean? So it's trying to build this man child up. And when I mean man child, talking about just a big country human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So physically he has... I called him the show pony. He's a show horse.
Yeah.
I mean, probably couldn't race.
Look good though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, in games, you will see like
you see flashes.
Like, oh, he's gone. But then you have a flash of trauma. You have a flash of trauma. You're like, and who he could have been? He could have been more like an Anthony Davis style.
Mm.
You're talking about a 7-foot guy who was probably the second fastest on our team. Like, just straight hunted. Oh, he was gone. Small hands. So he was more guard-like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when he decided to take off, you know, he's gone, ball's still there. You know what I mean? But I just think it was, like, that's what I'm saying. But, like,
So also that was kind of a jab, too. He was like... He running fast, but he ain't getting the ball because he's, like, so disoriented. Literally a chicken with his head cut off. I mean, that's why they implemented that rule where it's, like, they might as well call it the Kwame Brown rule. They're, like, look, man. I mean, yeah, there was more high schools that came out after that, too, you know. But after Kwame Brown, they were, like, you know what, maybe we should probably start doing these clamp downs with the age limit. And that's how you started. That was the birth of the one and dones, the Calipari recruits. But then there's this last bit where it's like, all right. Ooh.
It was crazy. I remember I had to say something in the paper about the experience we had in Chicago. And, you know, you got to remember, we have Kwame, you know, so right now, you know, he's getting booed at home. Every time as soon as he misses a layup, they booing the man.
Boo.
Yeah, they booing him. You know what I mean? It was like one of them, like, ah, damn, bro. Well, I ain't passing you the ball no more. And he'll come. He'll be like, hey, listen, hey. And this is where I knew. I was like, man, he just needs to get he needs to leave.
Fresh start.
Yeah, because he was like, you know, he'll come to me and it's like, yo, hey, you know, I know they said 5 down, you know, when I get in, but let me get like a tip in first. Don't come directly to me.
Oh,
that's how shaken he was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's
imagine
tough.
you getting booed at your own
that's
home.
Tough, man.
Yeah, so getting booed at your own home and people just weren't fucking with him and it just was sad for the dude. I mean, nigga was literally 18 years old, and you have a whole ass legend who's known to bully and punch teammates. Michael Jordan, now he's gonna draft this kid and just bully this young man. And it's so fucked up because I remember when I was at Bleacher Report, I remember because I covered the NBA Southeast, so I talked a lot about not just about the Hawks, but a lot about the Charlotte Hornets and the Washington Wizards. Ironically, and remember I even had an article where it's like 10 ways to cheer up a Wizards fan. That was a tough ass article. It's like I really should have said wait 10 more motherfucking years, nigga. John Wall's the shit though. But I remember when it happened, when Kwame Brown went to the Bobcats, they were still the Bobcats then. It's like, yo, is Jordan still fucking with this nigga? Like, god damn. But we just never heard shit from Kwame Brown. He was always the butt of jokes. Like, oh, this nigga wasn't shit. Oh, haha, the greatest of all time. Like, that shit Steven Jackson was saying, oh, he was definitely being facetious. Them niggas can't even pretend that they weren't. And how he was looking to, like, as soon as Gilbert Arenas was like, yo, he had potential. Like, he literally, Steven Jackson gave him the Zorak eyes, the Zorak blink. You know what I'm talking about? Space goes coast to coast with Zorak. The keyboard just looking at him like, nigga, you weird. And he just stares at him and then slow blinks. Anyway, kind of like what he would do right now because I just made it awkward. But yo, Kwame Brown, bro, he back, baby. So I've screen recorded so many clips from, I mean, he went off on all platforms. He did Instagram Live, and then he moved it to the YouTube. I actually watched the YouTube one. It didn't have to be an hour and 15 minutes, though. But it was fun to watch for, like, 30 minutes. This nigga was hella into his hookah. Like, he was slurping the shit out of this shit. I'm like, that's Atlanta for you. But, yeah, well, he's from Brunswick. But, yeah, he's straight up country. He, like, yeah, I'm just going to play this. He really don't fuck with Matt Barnes. He made that shit incredibly clear.
And what's a little light-skinned boy? It's Matt Barnes, the emotional nigga that was fighting over his wife, that she chose another man. That emotional nigga that did that? Oh, okay.
And then he went back to smoking a hookah after that. Like, he's taking a puff each time. Like, it's like, Kwame, where you been? But you know what? Like, he looks healthy. Like, he looks healthy. He looks good, you know? I mean, his net worth is reportedly is $8 million. I mean, he still walked away with millions. And he made a great point. He said, I told my mama at 5 years old I'm going to buy her a house. And I did that when I was 18. Talk about those accomplishments. And also, how am I a bust if I lasted 13 seasons in the league? Which is an incredible good point. Just because he didn't average, like, you know, double-double, he still averaged, like, I mean, he was averaging, like, 7 points and, like, 6 rebounds. I mean, that's hard shit. It's the NBA. So, he technically is not a bust. But he really don't like Matt Barnes.
But now I see you one of them confused little light-skinned niggas that was never dark enough to hang with the blacks, so you had to act like a jackass to prove you was tough. And you was never white enough to be with the whites. So you just an angry little nigga. And so the shit you say is always aggressive and stupid. You don't know how to respect a man in his space. Nigga, I ain't never said nothing to you or about you. So to go that far and tap and do all that little girl shit, what's wrong with you, nigga? Who raised you, nigga?
Yeah, he was very, like, alpha male about it, too. He's like, he was just very... And then he was calling Matt Barnes Becky with the good hair, saying that, yeah, it was, he was saying that Steven Jackson is a fake thug. He said, which one are you, a thug or an activist, nigga? Like, everybody was all kind of niggas and motherfuckers in his feed. I mean, I enjoyed it thoroughly. There was one point where he was, even the niggas he fucked with, he was forgetting. He was like, what's that dark skinned dude who smoked Black and Miles all the time? He was on my team. Fuck, what was his name? Gerald Wallace. That's right, because he had somebody on his side the whole time. The person he was talking to was not on camera, so he's just looking to the side and he's getting all, like, kind of feedback. The shit's just funny. I don't know. But he really is roasting them niggas. Like, he. Yeah. Okay.
Becky with the good hair. Hey, oh, fuck, no, he didn't do that. We not gonna put you on. These niggas so silly, they don't know what they wanna do. Nigga, we don't need you, nigga. We not gonna put you on, nigga. Go back to wherever you was at, this and that. Come on the podcast like men. Let's talk face to face now. If you wanna box, if you wanna this. These people on the internet don't love you. Did you love me when you were talking to me like that in front of that black, that white woman, bitch? You niggas crazy. Did I say I love these people that claiming they love me? No, they listening to some real words, you punk motherfucker. Use them little white ass. I think you a white girl now, nigga, with that slick ass hair. Boy, you got that finger wave going good, too. Boy, you look real cute, though. The Dennis the Menace looking motherfucker.
Why he so bad? Why he gotta... Now he's just getting personal, so... But he has a good point. Why are you using platform to tear down other black men? And it's not that all the smoke is different, but there's men. I mean, he really could be directing that to Stephen A. Smith. And he definitely for 100% came for Stephen A. Smith too. And everybody's just been like, yeah, whatever, man. Let you be who you are. You're not going to get me involved in nigga shit. These are nigga moments. I'm not stink meaner. I'm going to let you be. Then Matt Barnes had a rebuttal. And I don't know. All this shit's funny to me. It shouldn't be, but it is.
Kwame Brown. Brother Brown, Brother Brown. You've been ranting for about 5 days now. Your cry for help, your need for attention has worked. I heard your Instagram following has grown over 30,000 the last handful of days since you had my name in your mouth. But don't be fooled by this new attention, bro. All these people that are gassing you and putting a battery in your back, all the platforms that are picking you up, didn't give a fuck about you last week, bro. But come on the show. Talk that shit. Tell your story face to face. There's no bigger, better platform than ours. You can say what you want. We're an award-winning platform. We don't tear down black men. Because you're the butt of the joke. Now that's what you're on. You think we're tearing down black men. But if you actually watch the show, we empower everybody.
And he's right. They do empower everybody. They recently had Jeremy Lin on there. And they're talking about Asian hate crime. So, and how... they do their thing. I'm not taking anybody's side because I really don't give a shit. But I will say that Kwame Brown's not wrong for defending himself because these niggas have been roasting him his whole entire NBA career during and post. So, and he never really had a fair shake. But, and you know, like there's a lot of them. People are so, I hate the whole concept of bust. You know, like Greg Oden, he really struggled with alcoholism because, I mean, especially seeing how Kevin Durant started a Flores who went, you know, one pick behind him. People have said worse, like that whole Stephen A. Jackson shit where he's like, he's a scrub. He can't play. He has small hands. It's like, you don't have any of this though, Stephen A. Smith. So I feel like he definitely deserved to talk shit to Stephen A. Smith. But, you know, he was definitely being sarcastic and facetious. Matt Barnes is kind of like whatever. But it looked like he targeted the one that he was least threatened by. Because he said some shit to Stephen A. Jackson. But, I mean, Stephen A. Jackson. He said something to Stephen Jackson. But it was mostly like in comments and Stack like started. He said, "Hey man, you really don't want to do this, bro. Like, listen to the people." And Brendan Haywood, who used to be his teammate, like they're all just been like, "Yo, bro, just fucking chill. Like, we get it, but just chill." But he really have been coming to. He been coming really, really forward to Matt Barnes. Like, I don't know what it is, but he, you know, calling him a white girl. It's like, that's weird. But again, I don't think he's wrong. It's just interesting now watching, like, looking at, you know, Steven Jackson's comments and looking at all the Smoke's comments. People really, this is like, Kwame Brown really got a whole ass army now full of niggas who's like, yo, fuck you, bitch ass bitch. Like, Kwame Brown really been coming at these niggas. It's just been funny. It's been really funny. I'm just happy to see the nigga say something, because he was quiet for literally 2 decades, man, and people just made him the butt of jokes his whole career. And yeah, it's just time to, you know, let that nigga just be in peace. I mean, he's fine. He literally is, you know, he like Mary J. Blige, man, in 2007. He is a-okay. He ain't gonna be stressing out over these niggas. But he really did roast the shit out of him. I can't stop laughing about that. He's like, fuck y'all motherfuckers. Anyway, moving on. I am fully vaccinated, and I'm not going to lie, I'm very proud to be a part of that. I mean, you know, as a black person in America, there's always hella, like, conspiracy theories, like, yo, hey, man, they going to do it like a do Tuskegee, bro. And I just, once I saw that comedy was opening back up and how much I've been really missed performing, I had no time to waste. It's like, yeah, I want to travel, and I don't care. So, I mean, I do care, but I just don't have any time to waste anymore. I've already thought long about it. Let me go ahead and just get vaccinated. So I did, and then, I got the second one 2 weeks ago, which was the day after the last podcast. And then, just this past Tuesday, I was 2 weeks out, so I am 100% fully vaccinated. I feel really good about it, but I'm not going to stop wearing masks. I'm going to keep on wearing these niggas. You ain't going to stop me for a minute. But I mean, I might stop wearing them outside. I don't know yet. It's just that as long as pollen's out there, I'm not going to stop. But I see that we are if the vaccine's working, because the U.S. deaths from COVID-19 last week fell to the lowest in nearly 14 months, and the number of new cases continued to climb for a fifth week in a row, according to Reuters analysis of state and county data. So it's like a very extensive research. And on average, about 600 people die from COVID each day, down from a peak of over 3,000 deaths per day. So that's like, I'm not going to do the math. It's a whole big-ass percentage. So I highly recommend y'all getting vaccinated. This is the one time where the U.S. healthcare system did not fail us. We get this shit for free. You can just sign up in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You can do it at Delta. There's even drive-through vaccinations now. Like, they're getting more prevalent about it because this is the only way we can keep, if we want to go back to normal, this is just literally the only way. If you look at the different things that you can and cannot do as a vaccinated person versus unvaccinated, basically, if you vaccinate, you can go back to 2019. So yeah, shout out to, I don't know, who do we get a shout out to for doing it right? They were doing vaccination during Trump administration, but Fauci, who we giving props to? Anyway, we'll figure it out later. So the NBA playoffs, the play-in has been very interesting. Unfortunately, the Charlotte Hornets are out, so no more LaMelo Ball excitement. Also, the San Antonio Spurs are out. Both 10 seeds of each conference, they don't advance if they lose. So the Celtics are the 7th seed, and who's the 7th seed in the Lakers? The Lakers are 7. That's why I was like, who? So yeah, the Lakers. It was the Lakers because they beat the Warriors. Or LeBron James beat the Warriors. That shit was wild. He did it right in Curry's face too. That shit was wild. That nigga still playing, man. That shit crazy. He and Carmelo, but like, damn. Bron is still going. They the same age, so it's just as, it's definitely just as amazing, but LeBron just still doing shit, man. That shit crazy. It's going to be the Warriors and the Grizzlies tonight to see who's going to advance. I don't know. I think this might be why Steph Curry will not get the MVP. He's been going crazy, but his team hasn't really. He's been doing everything, yes, but his team's still been kind of shitting bricks. So if they win tonight, yeah, maybe he'll get closer to being MVP. But honestly, I think, and I'm about to do my predictions on the end of year awards. Oh yeah, shout out to Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, bro. I think Mike Breen even got inducted. I think he got inducted. And then Tim Duncan, yeah, they're all in the Hall of Fame, man. So shout out to them. So the MVP is between Nikola Jokic from Denver, Steph Curry, and then Embiid, I'm pretty sure. Joel Embiid. Shout out to Joel Embiid, bro. 2 years he had to sit out because of injury. Came back strong. I think it's going to be Jokic still. It was kind of set up for that way in the beginning. I remember I was looking at the NBA.com stats or whatever, and I saw that, like, I was just looking at, just team leaders or whatever, and it showed that Jokic led in all categories, and that was when Jamal Murray was still healthy. So, and even with Jamal Murray being hurt, it hasn't looked like it's made much of a difference. This nigga been in there. Like, this goofy Brian Big Country Reeves 2.0 looking motherfucker. He's very like, I mean, he's like the white Paul Pierce, y'all. Like, this nigga got goofy ass shot. He lanky as fuck, but also fleshy as fuck. But that nigga is a walking bucket. Like, he literally almost averaged a triple double. It's like 27 points, 11 rebounds, and almost 9 assists. Like, that shit's insane. And this dude, I mean, so yeah, I'll be surprised if he didn't win the MVP. It seems like a shoe-in for sure, because he's been, I mean, Steph Curry is going to give him a run for his money, especially if he advances, but I definitely think it's going to be Jokic. Rookie of the Year is going to be Anthony Edwards, I think, mainly because LaMelo Ball was out 21 games. If LaMelo Ball was not out, if he was out less, like 10 less games, he probably would still win Rookie of the Year. And his comeback was strong. That would make it even tougher for Anthony Edwards to win. But I think he's going to 100% win Rookie of the Year. He was consistent nonstop, and he didn't get hurt. So I think that's going to be in his favor. Sixth Man of the Year. That was a tough one because you had because I didn't know Derrick Rose. I thought that nigga was a starting point guard for the Knicks. But he's going up for Sixth Man of the Year. He might get it because of familiarity. But I think that Jordan Clarkson deserves it more. It's like, which tatted up nigga gonna get it? But yeah, I think Jordan Clarkson's gonna win. I mean, the Jazz, man. I mean, I feel like Jordan Clarkson as sixth man is the reason why the Jazz could 100% win it all the way, especially a Spider Mitchell comeback. Cause Jordan Clarkson is a fucking, he's beyond a walking bucket. That dude right there, man. People don't talk about him enough. Like, he's up there with the Holiday brothers, you know, like Drew Holiday. Also, like the Tobias Harris's. Like, there's so many of these NBA players that are so fucking fierce. Like, they are, I mean, not even fierce. I meant explosive. They're fucking explosive on the court. And just a bucket, like, just a walking bucket. And they don't get, you know, all the play that they deserve because they do it so quietly. Like, they're what you call the quiet assassins. And Jordan Clarkson is 100% that nigga. Like, you be like, wait a minute, who keep giving him the ball and not guarding him? Like, he's that type of player. Or it'd be like, dang, he had three niggas on him and he still shot that three. So, yeah, Jordan Clarkson got to win it, man. Joe Ingles is good, too, which is his teammate. Like, because they sometimes interchange. Like, one starts, one. It's the Jazz. The Jazz going to probably win it all, y'all. Like, I've been watching them niggas all year, too. Like, I mean, it's literally, that title is theirs to take. I mean, they even got the next category I'm going to talk about, Defensive Player of the Year, is Rudy Gobert. In my eyes, I mean, and I'm not just being biased because he was on my squad, but bruh. Rudy Gobert ain't no joke. And also, he played so well, people forgot about how goofy he was during that initial COVID outbreak. But it don't even matter. That nigga been defensive like a mother. I mean, he averaged like 18 blocks a game. He averaged about 15 rebounds a game, though. That shit. He's great. He's like a more finessed Ben Wallace. Like, he's 100. He's like if Ben Wallace was French and light-skinned, or if Ben Wallace was Tony Parker. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, Rudy Gobert ain't no hoe, man. That dude, he probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year again. And then most improved player, I mean, this is a unanimous joke because he really could be up there in MVP. He could really be an MVP finalist, rather. Julius Randle is 100% going to win that shit. If he doesn't win Most Improved Player of the Year, it's going to be the weirdest shit ever. Because that award, like, they're going to rock about that baby and give that shit to him. Like, they're going to cradle that award first and warm that shit up in a fucking blanket and then hand it to Julius Randle. I mean, that's how much of a cakewalk. That, I mean, it's going to be unanimous. There's no way Julius Randle is not going to be a unanimous Most Improved Player candidate, like, winner, rather. Like, there's no way. There's no way that he can't win that shit. I'm sorry, but it's so weird. I mean, he's up against some good dudes. He really is up against, like, he has a really good category of people that he's going against. But y'all, no, like, it's his. Literally his to take. So that's enough as far as NBA prediction goes. Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I forgot about this. Oh, yeah. J. Cole. He signed with Rwanda. He plays with Africa, African League. He did all right. There's some air balls that happened, but he had some cool highlights, you know, free throws and a tip in. But listen, shout out to him. But yeah, Julius Randle is going to definitely win that. And lastly, with the NBA news, Marv Albert is going to retire after he covers this season's Eastern Conference Finals. So yeah, because the finals goes to ABC when it comes to broadcast. So yeah, and I don't know if y'all remember, but I do. I never forgot it. 1997. That was when he was accused of wearing a garter belt and women's underwear, and also biting this woman, the same woman he sexually harassed back in the day. So in 97, that's when he got fired from NBA on NBC. And then 2 years later, TNT picked him up, and he's been with them ever since. So it's 2 years enough to forget how fucking weird that shit was. Like, he was in a garter belt, a teddy, and some high heels. And I'm 12 years old reading about this, because that was with my big, like, that's when I started getting into sports announcers and wanting to be them niggas. Anyway, I guess I still could be. There's always hope. I'd be like, this nigga right here, though, look at this nigga thinking that he's somebody, got a little toothed up. But yes, that was very riveting. That was pretty much, I talked a little bit about current events, but yeah, this was mainly about basketball, because it's the NBA playoffs, baby. So we might as well just call it, was Amberland, might as well call it Bouncy Land. No, okay, like a basketball, I gotta bounce and do the timeout. All right, I took a real long time out. This is 2 days later. So there's two things I wanted to talk about. The first one, I'm not going to talk too much about. The second one, a little bit longer. My roommate had a homie come over, and I had some food. I made some beef stew, and then I also had some chicken and dumplings left over. And I was talking about, well, they were enjoying the beef stew, and I was talking about the chicken and dumplings. And the friend said, "Wow, you're always cooking up something, and it's always really delicious. I'm surprised no one snatched you up yet and wifed you." What? What kind of, like, just give me a compliment. Don't do it in a weird way that white bitches do when they don't know how to give a compliment to a black woman. Like, it's always on some, like, condescending, degrading shit. It's like, wow, your cooking is so good. Why are you still single? Like that's a measurement of success. And a lot of that happens with women. It's like, oh, you're confident and you're dope and you do all these things well. The one thing you don't have is a relationship or a romantic partner or anything like that. Shit like that used to get to me, man. But all I had to do, I just completely ignored it. I was like, shit. They the ones that's gonna be snatched up. Like, I ain't waiting for Nathan, but I was just kidding because I didn't give a shit. But I couldn't help but consider a source. It's like, huh, you're not even married yourself. You are by common law because you've been with this dude that you've been in a relationship for years, but you cheating on the motherfucker. So what are we talking about? And like, you've been cheating on him, like, with different multiple niggas. So it's very interesting to get this sort of fake ass wisdom or fake ass concern. Definitely not wisdom, but fake ass concern about the whereabouts of my spouse. When, I mean, it's just, It's just so many. Every time I consider a source, it's like, oh, you're completely miserable. Like, not only are you doing this, what I just mentioned, but it's like some other elements to the relationship that's real fucked up. And I'm like, you know, you could just be alone. It's totally okay. Like, well, you clearly out in these streets, so just do it without the attachment of a relationship. But I get it, I guess, because people, society, especially American, just most of society, yeah. Like, you get frowned upon if you don't have a husband. Like, and I mentioned this, I think, a month ago in an earlier podcast episode where one of the Asian spa massage parlor victims, one of the victims ended up being buried here as opposed to being sent home to her family because they didn't want to claim her because she wasn't married and she didn't have any kids. And it's like, it's just more to life than living up to other people's expectations. So yeah, I just thought that was funny. It's like, girl, look at your own life. Don't even worry about what the fuck I got going on. Clearly you can't really cook that well, so why are you even concerned? Like, people funny. But the main thing I want to talk about is, I'm just, man, doing stand-up comedy. I'm really glad to be back. But I'm already on my Michael Jordan shit, Kobe Bryant shit. Like, yo, man, if you don't give a fuck about this shit, if you just doing this without any type of care, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, I'm really tired of being in lineups, and it's like a few comics who clearly don't do the work. They don't write. They just ride different waves and then think that they can ride that same wave on certain lineups. Man, do I hate when a comic bombs. And I'm not talking about, like, we all bomb. I'm talking about when they bomb and they know they're going to bomb. And they about to, and they let us, and it's like, yeah, I'm probably going to bomb tonight. You know, like, shit like that. And they end up doing it. And it's like, not a bomb way where it's like you can recover from this shit. It's like fucking atomic bomb. Like so much that you think of the host and the previous comics before, like, think, like, man, that shit was good. And then you have other comics who's like, yo, I gotta recover from this shit. I mean, it just puts people, it puts other comics in a really weird position, man. It's like, whoo, okay, well, we gotta keep these people coming because these tickets are not cheap. And I'm saying that's the type of bomb that I don't like, when you don't even do the work, you don't do mics, you think you're above it all, and then you do a show and you're thinking that you can handle it, but you can't. And you're on a show with a bunch of killers, and then you just shit bricks. It's just, I've seen it too often. Like, in open mics, of course you're going to bomb. That's the whole point. That's why it's important to do open mics, because, you know, there's always going to be a moment where you can have a great set and a joke might fall flat. Well, you can still end up having a great set by bomb recovery. I mean, it's just like, shit happens. Make being human funny, you know? Like, you made a mistake. Okay, well, it's funny. Let's overcome it. But boy, do I hate it when you drag out the bomb. You're like, yeah, so, huh, you guys hate it, huh? Ooh, okay, well, I guess you don't like that either. It's like, and then you end up finishing the set early, and then it's like, ah, geez, what happened? Yeah. Stop doing that shit, y'all. That shit's weird. Do your homework. Do your homework. Do the work. Don't take easy routes. Like, don't think, oh, okay, I'm just gonna earn my way through by doing guest hosts and running my own show and just booking bookers. It sounds like I said boogers. But yeah, just booking other bookers so you can be booked on their shows. Yeah, that was a mouthful. But yeah, it's just, and I know this is any city. It's just, we just came from a pandemic, y'all. Like, we didn't perform for over a year. Like, we're all pretty rusty, so we all are hungry. So let's just give a fuck, man. Like, don't fucking come to these mics with your dick out, all ready to shit on the mic. Like, stop shitting on mics too. Like, yeah, it's gonna be comics only, and you know, I understand you wanna comment on that and get comics engaged. I get that, but at the end of the day, we're workshopping, man. So just think of it this way. If you work through new material and a comic looks up from their notes and you got comics laughing, that means you doing your shit. Otherwise, if you're not getting the comics' attention, then what makes you think you're going to get a complete stranger's attention? Like, let's be okay with doing mics with just comics. Like, let's stop having expectations. First of all, again, a lot of us survive some shit. I mean, if we're here, we survived a major pandemic. Like, that's just fucked up. Like, we made it. But like, for real, let's all work on our shit, man. Let's hone our shit. Let's stop shitting on stages and mics, like I said. Okay, so it's comics mic. Oh, that means it's a workout room. That means you can work out some shit. So let's do it. And let's do multiple. Let's not just focus on one type of scene, because you know it's Atlanta, so it's segregated as fuck. Let's do black rooms. Let's do quote-unquote mainstream rooms and quote-unquote alternative rooms. Like, let's do them all, man. Let's try to get all these audiences. Let's get all this paper. So shout out to the ones that I've been really fucking with. Man, this feels really good. Just, like, I'm not gonna lie, it's just, it feels good hanging out with the ones who, you know, that are putting in the work and gives a shit. That's been awesome. And it's been a lot of love, and I really have been appreciating. I just appreciate the stage time. But keep your ears peeled and eyes as well, because major announcement coming up as far as or regarding Girls Night Out. It's definitely coming back, baby. All right. On that note, let's go to the brick. All right, the clickety clank clank goes to the brick. Miss Chrissy Teigen, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Don't really care. She annoys me. I never really fucked with her. She's like, people are like, oh, she's the queen of clapbacks. Like, not really. I don't know. I mean, I knew her as John Legend's wife first before I knew that she had her own career. But, like, she has cookware and dining sets. But it ain't gonna be in Bloomingdale's, Target, or Macy's, because she is a bully. She got off Twitter like a few months ago saying that she was exhausted from all the cyberbullying and how it's hard for women, especially women of color, to be on Twitter without getting an onslaught of just negative criticism and bullying type comments. But she probably, her PR team probably got word that that was going to be a Daily Beast expose about her. Not necessarily about her, but it was a younger woman who's not a younger person. They're non-binary, so they go by them and they. I forget the name. Chrissy Stodden or Stephanie Stodden. I'm sorry, but I do know that they're classifying as non-binary and they go by them and they. So, but they went through their own onslaught of really, really negative and bullying type comments, especially when they were only 16 years old and married some asshole who was 51 years old, but no one really came for him for being a predatory, creepy ass motherfucker. They came for them as well. And I mean, they came for them the people, the haters, came for them instead, who was only 16 at the time. And Chrissy Teigen was one of the, not even, I mean, she definitely bullied this person. She bullied the shit out of this person. I mean, it was 2011. And people act like it takes a while to process trauma. And then on top of the processing, when they're able to come forth about it, people don't have to come through this shit. They don't have to do any of this. They don't have to come forth about what they experience as trauma. So I just hate when fucking weirdo motherfuckers become sleuths of trauma when they come. They like to investigate. Oh, do you really feel traumatic? But I mean, there's no, I mean, the evidence is there. But the person was saying in Daily Beast that not only did Chrissy Teigen, not only did she publicly say some fucked up shit, like, and those tweets resurfaced, and she was saying, you, dirt nap, sleep, baby. Like, she's dirt nap, bitch, what? Like, you want her to, you have dreams of her not only dying, but watching her be buried? Like, what are you talking about? That shit's fucked up. Like, and then the person was saying that, they were also saying that Chrissy was sending private DMs saying that she should kill herself. And Chrissy did not deny any of it. Well, she couldn't deny the tweets because they were there, but she didn't deny the DMs either. So she has since apologized, but the person has said that, Stodden has said that, they accept the apology, but they don't think it's sincere because it looks like she only apologized because she knew that she was going to lose endorsements, but it didn't help. She still lost them shits. I mean, Bloomingdale's, Target, and Macy's, girl, that's so much money. You missed out on millions. I'm glad that she getting, I mean, she deserved the, I don't believe in that whole cancel culture thing because I hate how people want to put blank culture in front of everything, like, through it, you know, like, during the Me Too movement, it's like, rape culture's a thing, it's like, all right, and then, cancel culture, and it's like, all right, let's just call people out when they're shitty, and this was incredibly shitty, but this girl, Chrissy, has bricked. I don't think we give a fuck about her anymore. You can look through her comments, and people are like, yeah, you're a bully, like, I mean, she ain't gonna be that adored that much longer. I mean, people ain't fucking with her no more, really. I mean, she annoyed the fuck out of me. I don't really care about her. She always had some bullshit to say. I didn't like her ever since that whole, like, when the Beast of the Southern Wild, when the young lady who was nominated, who became the youngest, when she became the youngest Oscar nominee ever, like, beating Tatum O'Neal. So we got a young black woman, young black girl. She's still very much a girl. She's not even 18 yet. But yeah, the tweets about her also resurfaced. Chrissy did, and that was my first. I was like, I ain't fucking with this. I was like, why are people like pumping this bitch up when she called a 9-year-old cocky? Like, what the fuck, bitch? Yeah. So. And bye. Let's go on to the swish. Right, and the swish goes to a baseball player, Drew Robinson, who is, I don't know if he's the first one-eyed baseball player, but it's very historical that he is playing. Because just last year, April 16, 2020, he shot himself and he lost his eye in the process of that. So, he returned to baseball earlier this month, and it's a really powerful quote. He said when he struck out 4 times, but it doesn't even matter. He has a home run when it comes to life, because he He said, when I was running around the field, hearing the crowd, hearing my family, hearing everybody cheer me on, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It felt so good to be out there. I'm so happy I was able to appreciate everything for what it was in the moment. That's something I wasn't able to do before the incident. So, yeah, that's an amazing comeback story. I mean, just to be able to play with one eye is already an amazing feat, but the fact to do so after overcoming a suicide attempt and choosing life, that's beautiful, man. And it's hopefully it helps a lot of people who have been battling suicidal thoughts and have been contemplating attempting it. Yeah, Drew Robinson is a really good story for that. So shout out to him, man. Shout out to you, bro. It's real heartwarming and touching, and I wish you all the best. And we are going to go into the highlight reel, and so it's going to be a big old kablooey, so you might want to lower your volume. All right, this week's highlight when it comes to film is Amazon Prime's Without Remorse. I wish I can say the same about how I felt after watching it from start to finish. No, that was just a fun joke, but seriously, that movie's okay. I mean, it was good in that it wasn't shitty, but the only movie that I've seen so far that I would have watched in theaters is Judas and the Black Messiah. The movie didn't really move me. It was a lot of fucked up shit. I'm really surprised that, I'm glad Lauren London got a role. You know, she has been getting roles, but this one in particular, I'm really, really surprised she took without getting triggered, for lack of a better phrase, because how her character goes out is fucked up. Like, so fucked up. I'm like, God damn, man. It's just so... You know, like, I don't mind, you know, revenge flicks, you know, I really don't, but it was cool seeing Michael B. Jordan kick everybody's ass, but this shit was still pretty fueled by trauma porn, so I don't know. It's not bad, but, I mean, it's something to watch, you know, if you ain't got anything else to do and you home on a weekend night, actually, or any night. If you just home and you want to watch this shit, yeah, that'd be cool. But I wouldn't really be like, hey, dude, did you see Without Remorse, man? That shit was badass, wasn't it? And yeah, it was, but it was just, I guess it's like if Old Boy was based, and I'm talking about, not the original, I'm talking about Spike Lee's version, the remake of it. It's like if Old Boy had a, if Old Boy was a based in military shit. Like if Old Boy was military shit. Okay, that's not a good one. I got kind of lazy with that. But still, it's kind of like how they were with the script. Anyways... Well, who the fuck am I, right? I'm just a bitch, that's high. So, I'm gonna go ahead and go to the overtime. Alright, so before I get into the fun topics of my overtime, I want to... It's another RIP. Well, this happened 2 years ago. Ronald Green, he reportedly died from impact on a head-on collision from his car onto a tree. And this was after police chased him, and it was an unspecified traffic violation, so we still don't know why they pulled the man over in the first place. Shout out to Monroe, Louisiana. These niggas are fucked up. Louisiana is just the most fucked up when it comes to prison. Fuck that place. Anyways, but shout out to New Orleans. Yay. But, so yeah, Ronald Green was actually murdered by cops. Another police brutality bullshit. they police released the body cam from the altercation, and 2 years later, it's like, oh, time to fight for some real justice then, niggas. Like, why? They one held him in a chokehold while punching him, and then another one was, like, they were just beating the shit out of the man, and they tased him, and they just tag team beating his ass pretty much, and he was already dead and unresponsible. He was already dead and unresponsive when they put him on a gurney with his arm handcuffed to the bed rail. So he was already a dead man when they did that, when he was already loaded onto the ambulance to go to the hospital. And they let him. Of course, I didn't watch the video just from reporting. So for 9 minutes, they let him. They pretty much let him bleed and die. I mean, they just let him die because it was 9 minutes where they left him unattended. So they just didn't give a fuck. And the reason why they left him unattended, because they spent those 9 minutes ridding themselves of the evidence that they were causing any harm to the man. So, and they were caught on camera calling him bitch and shit. They were calling him all kinds of bitch. And of course, Green, he did apologize in the process. He said, I'm sorry. And which people make mistakes. I mean, when it came to cops, cops, bro. Like, he shouldn't have been pulled over. Look, if the traffic violation was unspecified, it just sounds like they were bored one night. So, one of them was caught, heard saying, I hope this motherfucker doesn't have AIDS. He's a wiping his blood. This guy. These guys, one of the cops, he was fired for 50 hours, so he only had a 50-hour suspension. The other one, he was actually, what they reported how Ronald Green passed away, a singular car crash. This is actually how one of the cops ended up dying. It was like hours after he heard that he was going to get fired for this was last year, around September, hours after he was told that he was going to get fired for his role in the Ronald Green case, he ended up, I don't know if he did this on purpose, but he ended up dying from a singular car crash. So yeah, shit's fucked up. There's never an expiration date on justice. I mean, there's another video that's circulating of one of the last few survivors of the Black Wall Street massacre in Tulsa. She's 107 years old, and she recall clearly what happened that day. So she just wants some justice and some reparations. She's about to die, you know. Not about to, but I mean, she's 107, so she doesn't have much time left. That's what I meant to say. Excuse the crassness on the prior statement. Didn't mean that. Sorry, ma'am. But what I'm saying is she is 107 years old. The least she can do is get something for her family, you know. Where the fuck are the reparations, son? Anyways, rest in peace, Ronald Green, bruh. Hopefully get some justice for you. That damn Michael Che. I watched every single episode. I enjoyed it. I thought that shit was hilarious. The episode about the breakup, relationships, that shit was wild. I don't know if that shit hurt me because maybe I could relate. I'm not even sure, but the scene where when he's going through the first day with the woman that he was breaking up with, and she was saying, he was talking about how he pulled. He's like, yeah, I get good looking women. She's like, do you? He was like, what? And she's like, I don't know. It just seems like you would need someone who's cute, you know, and nerdy. You know, someone who'll get your jokes. And she said it just like that. And I was like, ew, disgusting. I don't like that shit at all. Yucky. I don't like that shit. I don't like that condescending shit, man. So, yeah. And then, oh, yeah, if she actually did hit him, then she was like, it was only one time. It's like, no times you need to hit somebody that you love. That never needs to happen. Now, as Patrice O'Neal said, mushing is, I'm just kidding. Oh, God, the episode where his friend dies because he kept trying to find ways to not go get an ambulance. That shit was really real. Then the episode where, oh, the sex worker one where he's, oh, boy. Oh, man, where he gets a, he hires sex workers to be, one to be his maid and one to be his psychiatrist or his therapist. Shit was wild. oh, and like the constant digs of having an HBO Max show as opposed to regular HBO. It's like, well, at least with HBO Max, you get to watch movies that come out in theaters. Flex, nigga, flex. I mean, I'm only issue with that. Oh, yeah, the Homegirl app. That shit was funny, too. Hey, fellas, I'm willing to be. Not really, actually. Don't hit me up. I'm not going to beat any woman's ass. I don't do that shit. But if you need me to beat some dude's ass who's way more petite than you, then yes, I will 100% do that. So, fellas, I'm there for you when it comes to that. You got some, not even that. You know what you need to do? Because I won't be laying hands on people. You ain't going to have me out here catching cases for y'all. But what I will do for you, and that's for anybody, hit me up if you ever need me to roast a motherfucker. I will roast them to smithereens. So, yes, hit me up if you need me to roast somebody. I am not joking. All right. I won't even charge anything. Maybe just, you know, smoke me out or some shit. I always take payment for weed because I'm tired of spending money on weed anyway. So if you want to start, you know, just giving me weed and I roast some motherfuckers, that's fine. You know what? If you just want to give me weed in general, okay, that's not the point of this. All right. Shout out to Michael Che, though, for real. Let's put it out there for me, y'all. Let's, yeah, if he comes here, if he needs somebody to open for him, I'm right here for you, bro. It'll look good for you, you know? He'll be like, hey, I be championing the black female comedians. I'm here for it or some shit. All right. Speaking of black female comedians, I mentioned this before. I got someone said I look like her once, and I think he was just full of shit because we look nothing alike. But if he wants to compare my, if y'all ever want to compare my stand-up with this comedian, I won't be mad ever. Sam J. Yo, she's the shit. Pause with Sam J. She's the shit. I really, I was like, because Michael Che's show, like, it did come out, I guess it maybe came out weekly, and when I watched it this past, like, a week ago, all the 6 episodes were already out. So, not the case with Sam J. She just, like, it just came out May 21st, so. So that was literally 3 days ago. So I thoroughly enjoyed the first one. It was talking about coons. And I really love this part, the first part of what she's talking about. Because white people really be thinking that we think about them like that.
I was at work and this bitch was like, I want to get Bantu nuts. But I don't want to hurt black people's feelings. And I'm like, why do you think you have the power to rock my day? You just look dumb.
Seriously, though, she was like, she was literally like, why do you think a regular white bitch is going to rock my day like that? Like, you not Adele, you know, like that's, you know, like we are, you saw what happened when Adele tried to do that shit. But also, what makes you think that I'm going to be offended by, be so burnt up by what you did that I'm going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you wearing this, girl. Get the fuck out of here. You're just going to look goofy as fuck and we're going to roast you. That's it. This happens a lot at work when white people doing white people things because they don't know how to deal with, you know. Like, they all treat me like I'm Kamala Harris or some shit. Or Stacey Abrams, even. They'd be like, oh, yes, ma'am. I don't want to do anything to offend you. I don't want to look racist. Oh, my God. Like, and there'd be times where they do stupid shit where they say they want to get one thing. Then they change their mind. I'm like, all right. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to confuse you. And I'm like, bitch, I'm not confused. You think this is confusing? Like, you being goofy as fuck and changing your mind? You think I give a fuck that you change your mind? You know how often I go to a place where I'm high as fuck? And I'm like, shit, man, that's not what I meant, bro. I meant that other one. I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't give a fuck about that shit. They be, like, so pressed that they think I'm pressed about them being. I'm like, look, man, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. If you change your mind, okay. If you change your mind again, okay. If you're being annoying, whatever. Because guess what? I don't care. You walk away, and I don't know who the fuck you are anymore. Like, everybody's a stranger once you walk away. I will not remember you. Let's move on. That shit be so crazy, though. It's like, I don't want to do this. But Sam Day did a great job on this first episode. I'm really excited about the second one. And I really love the Niggadom skit. Like, she's doing her thing. I'm loving it. I'm loving the different voices. Also, shout out to Z-Way, because she's on Hulu, though. If you, I think the reruns are streaming on Hulu, but she's on Showtime, and she is an alum from Desus and Mero. So I fucks with her. I even watched the episode with her. She's dope. I fuck with it. And some of the skits I've seen, I already love already. Musically, I want to give a shout out to Duke Deuce. Hoo-wee, that's my nigga right there. Shout out to Memphis, bro. They be doing that shit. That's what I'm saying, man. Don't forget about your hood homies, man. They be on it. They be talking about some shit too. I mean, he a hood nigga, you know what I'm saying? But he be on his shit. He be talking about some real shit, and I fuck with it. And it's okay. Just like 3-6 and Project Pac and A-Ball MJG, all them niggas, like, they be talking about some real shit, but they get written off because they country niggas. Like, fuck out of here, man. Let's listen to all what everybody got to say. Listen to the hood, the country niggas, all of them. Which was awesome because I was already planning on talking about this. And then I watched the episode of Sam J. And that was the whole concept of Niggadom. And the whole concept of why we got to call black people who don't agree with us coons. So I believe in all that shit. I mean, we should be cool with black conservatives. We should be cool with all of them. And we got to be extremely careful with the word sellout, because how are we really determining that? So yeah, but I love it's like his song Gangsta Party, it's super viral and super radio friendly, but shit, like, we got heavy ammunition for the opposition, that shit dope as fuck. But yeah, I listen to all his shit, you know, the first Memphis Massacre, the second one, and this one. So Deuce Nukem, he's doing his thing, bro. I read about states, a lot of states, Republican states mainly, banning critical race theory, whatever. Why would we expect them to even talk about that? We don't even have enough black teachers, especially black male teachers. So what happens if white people and white teachers end up teaching that? So I don't really want to hear them try to say shit about shit. So maybe we're better off without them trying to address that. I don't know. I mean, these Republican states, seriously, are they going to really have a black teacher who's going to be able to open? Fuck that. No. I mean, it was whack that they're doing whole ass bills saying, no, you're forbidden to teach this. But if you're in a Republican state, the shit won't be taught accurately anyway. So moving on. But if you want to talk about canceling, boycotting, this is what you do. Because what you're not going to do, man, this is Dominique Wilkins, man. This man got a whole ass statue in downtown Atlanta in front of the State Farm Arena, the Phillips Arena, rather. And or the Omni, if you really want to go there. And he talked about a couple of days ago. He said, all my years I've eaten at many of the great restaurants in the world, but never have I ever been turned away because of the color of my skin until today. And he said, Le Bibloquette. Yeah, so that's the name, Le Bibloquette Atlanta, I guess is a French restaurant. He said, they did that today. And then # turned away because I'm black. Racism exists. We need to do better. And they ended up apologizing, but what happened is he goes in there and they were saying that they didn't have any tables, which was a lie. And then he's like, why did you not mean when you say you didn't have why did you deny me saying that you didn't have open tables when you do? They said, well, we didn't like, we have a dress code and we don't like what you're wearing. So they forbid people wearing athletic wear. So they're basically saying they forbid athletes. It's like, you know, because they got this, probably got this notion, because it is in Buckhead, it got this notion that nigga athletes don't know how to rap. Because that's the thing, they just see them as nigga athletes, don't see them as people or anything. It's like they see tall black man in athletic gear. Oh, he's just a nigga with money, but he still don't know how to act. I used to work at ESPN Zone. I know exactly how these niggas think, man. They be like, okay, well, let's don't let, you know, just shit like that. Everybody's racist. But yeah, not that I was going to go there anyway, but it's right in front of the Spanx building. So if you want to have an idea what this shitty place you don't want to go to, or the shitty place you didn't even think you were going to go to in the first place, so fuck them. Don't go there. And keep your apology too. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's see. I don't think I really have any shows this week. It might change, but I don't. So it's going to be a lot of just working on some shit and getting inspired by some shit. But next month, I'm going to be incredibly busy when it comes to shows. Like, holy shit. Oh, yeah, forgot to mention. Yes, so I'm going to be part of this. I think maybe I did already mention this. But, yeah, like, just to reiterate if I already did, I'm going to be part of the 1865 inaugural Juneteenth Festival here in Atlanta during the week of Juneteenth. It starts the 16th. I have two shows at 9, one on the 17th and one on the 18th. Then on Saturday, I have a day show at 2 in the afternoon. So then I have a couple of shows coming up the first week of June. One's going to be at Arches Brewing. That's in Hapeville. Then I have another one that I think is a secret show. So that's neither here nor there. Then Sunday, I have a twofer, as in I have two shows. So brunch show and then a beer show. So yeah, that's it for now. But I'm going to catch y'all later. Oh, yeah, the NBA playoffs. Yo, who y'all got? The Jazz got beat by the Grizzlies, but Spider Mitchell might be coming back game two, so who knows how that's going to end up in the second game. All right, y'all, I'm going to holler at your lizard.